It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, audacious solutions, bold ideas to solve some of today's most complex problems. And our next speaker knows his issue intimately. It's the foster care system in the U.S. A note before we begin, we briefly discuss child abuse and trauma.
You know, all my life I was always told that, you know, there's no placement for me, there's no family members you can live with.
Sixto Cancel doesn't remember a time when his family all lived together.
Foster care for me started as an 11-month-old baby. My mother struggled with substance abuse and poverty-related issues, and, you know, I was placed in the system. My mother had 8 children, including me. My other brother and sisters, they all ended up in different families.
Sixto was in and out of different homes. When he was 9, he was placed with a foster mother who ended up adopting him.
I remember being 9 years old and being at the courthouse and the judge asking me if I wanted to be adopted. And in that moment, I knew that the answer that I was supposed to say out loud was yes. But in my head, I had always been a foster kid. You know, from being a baby and being grown up in the system, I didn't even have an idea of what it truly meant to say, well, oh, here's now your new forever family. But I said yes. And at that point, it's when I started to experience more and more of the abuse. Until I was 13, I then ended up couch surfing because the abuse was so severe.
So did you leave your family? Did you run away?
There were times where I would just be locked out of the house for weeks at a time. And so that's how the couch surfing started. So I would have to find a place to go while I was being locked out. And that was like her beginning forms of punishment. And so I just kept calling the child welfare system, asking them to take me back. But unfortunately, they kept saying that what I was saying wasn't substantiated, which means that we didn't have enough evidence for them to realize that I was telling the truth about what was happening.
Wait, so you're a preteen and you're calling and saying, I'm in a terrible situation, and that wasn't good enough? The fact that you were calling yourself to advocate for yourself?
Not only was I calling, but my school system was calling, my dance teacher and after-school programs were calling. I mean, there were several open and closed investigations. She would tell the police or she would tell the investigator that I was just acting up. That it literally took me having to, like, tape a recorder to my chest with clear tape and start documenting what I was going through. And that's when I had enough evidence to start saying, hey, here's what's actually happening to me.
Sixto's teenage years were even more chaotic. At one point, he was in touch with his siblings, and they came up with a plan to live together.
My older brother, you know, we had met when I was 14, and he was saving money so that he can get an apartment to get me and my other brother out of foster care.
I see.
And unfortunately, one day, he was killed due to gun violence.
Oh, gosh.
And so, like, that was the day where, like, all hope of family kind of died for me.
Here's Sixto Cancel on the TED stage.
Even without abuse, foster care is a tough experience. You don't know what's actually going to happen to you. You're placed with a stranger, and you're expected to become family. But if you don't fit in, if you act up a little bit too much, you will find yourself in a new home with new school, new rules, new everything. When I was placed back in foster care at 15, I thought that that was the end of my storm. But it was just the beginning of the next storm. Went to a few different homes, but unlike many, I was placed in a nonprofit program where I got ready to live on my own. The foster care system is not doing a good job of raising children. Unsupported foster youth are 2 to 3 times more likely to have negative outcomes related to homelessness, incarceration, being sexually trafficked. The mental toll is severe. Foster youth are 2 times more likely than war veterans to experience and suffer from PTSD.
Okay, so obviously these are really, really tough situations, stressful situations that these kids are put into. How many kids are we talking about here?
Yeah, sometimes people think it's a very small issue in the United States because the number of kids that are removed from their homes for either neglect or abuse is about 400,000 people every single year. But what most people don't realize is that foster care begins with a knock on your door by a social worker who comes in and asks you a series of questions. And they check your cabinets, they check the refrigerator. And if you answer those questions incorrectly or there's not enough food in those cabinets or refrigerator, then your child can be removed. There are 7 million children a year that are involved in a child abuse report. And so that means about 10% of all children in the United States are actually being touched by a child welfare system.
Mm.
I think it's very hard when you see a child who, you know, maybe mom is sleeping in the car, right? And you're trying to get that third grader to school. And what do you do in that situation when our current other systems have failed, right? When you look at the housing programs across the country, sometimes there's too much of a waiting list. Shelters sometimes are packed down. And so what has happened is that when we don't have interventions for certain situations, then we default to the child welfare system to intervene. And so that's why child welfare has become one of the big responders to what I see as a lot of poverty issues.
I do want to get back to you and the wonderful part of your story. Let's go to you in college when you came up with the idea for your organization, Think of Us. What were you thinking? Were you like, okay, you know what? I am exactly the right person to switch things up here.
So when I was in college, I didn't think that I was like the perfect person to like start an organization and then run with it. I kept bringing this idea of how young people can have voice and choice in what's happening to them in foster care. How can they do some goal settings to kind of make sure that they transition into adulthood with the supports that they need? And what I realized is that, oh, the system is much more flawed by design.
This is why I started Think of Us, because this is the current result of the foster care system. It's designed wrong. I want to give you an example. We overwhelmingly heard from teenage foster youth that they were being misplaced in group homes. The system was acting like they have nowhere to place these children. Turned around, we sent our researchers out, and what they were able to reveal was that the majority of those children actually had extended family members that they could have lived with.
So you've explained why kids are usually separated from their families. But what is it that you are reimagining?
Yeah, so imagine this. Imagine that, unfortunately, you have to come into foster care. But instead of immediately being placed with a foster parent, imagine that your worker is pulling up social media and looking through the adults who are in your life and saying, which one of these adults do you want us to explore you living with? Which one of these are your aunt, uncle, cousin, grandparents? And being able to call those folks and say, you know what, on day one, I'm going to place you with, you know, family members that you already know.
Sixto calls this approach kinship care.
Kinship care is when a child goes ahead and is able to live with an extended family member or an adult that they have already known, an adult who loves them. That adult can be a church member, a close family friend. And what we now know is that research is showing that when children are placed with kin, they fare way better, from mental health to stability to graduating high school on time. And yet, only 35% of young people in the foster care system are actually placed with kin. But it doesn't have to be this way. In one state, in partnership, right, we went in and we implemented some simple solutions, like, let's ask young people which adults in their family they should live with. I wish I told you something better. That is one solution. We went ahead and like required social workers to get extra approvals if they're gonna place you outside of kin. The result, the initial placement with young people in the foster care system in a situation where they were living with kin rose from 3% to over 40% in just 2 years. In another state, we looked at a county. They were able to figure out how to place over 80% of those children with kin. So the idea that young people don't have adults in their life who can step up is not true. Every single year, hundreds of thousands of children are entering the foster care system and they're not being placed with family. the system spends over $30 billion on less than 1 million families a year. That is more than enough to make sure we find family, we support them, and that every child is living in a loving family situation. Right now, there's a big systems change opportunity, a federal decision that would make it super easy to have people who are related to a child step up and say, I'm willing to do this and get that support. If approved, we would see $3 billion shift from traditional foster care to kinship care. So when we work on these crazy ideas like let's make kinship care the norm, it is actually possible.
In your talk, you say that you're working on policy to make it easier for relatives to step up, to be foster parents. But what do you mean by that? What makes it easier?
Like, we're going to do simple things like help the state just ask the young person, who are the adults that you know? Then have a streamlined process that quickly gets that child placed there. Do the background check quickly. Turn around and do the home study quickly. But maybe we don't have to, on day one, start the 10 hours of traditional foster parenting classes. Maybe the child can be placed there and you do the classes while the child's already living with you. So we're going to streamline that process. And then make sure that all the barriers that are coming up, we're going to continue to tell Congress, the White House, and the federal agencies about what are those challenges.
For now, those challenges mostly remain in place. Marquan Teets is a good example of just how hard it is to place kids with family, even when there are loved ones who want to step in.
We go to the front office and we see our great-grandmother.
Marquan and his brother were in a foster group home when they were tracked down by their great-grandmother.
The moment she sees us, she just burst into tears, like burst crying. She said, I have been looking for you. I've been looking for you.
But his great-grandmother wasn't a government-approved foster parent, so she couldn't get government assistance to raise them. They ended up back in that group home until a couple years later when they finally went to live with a great-aunt who qualified.
We didn't even know we had great aunties. We just found out, and next thing you know, we moved in with her. And then she starts showing us pictures of our mom, showing us pictures of all of the family that we've never met. And we started having the family environment again, though. The fact that I did get to live with my auntie for all those years, it helped me prepare, though, because while I was there, I got to build a savings account. So I built my savings account. While I was there, I got to buy my first vehicle. I bought a truck. While I was there, I worked. So I was able just to get more on my feet. And because it was my auntie who actually genuinely cared for me and wasn't trying to take nothing from me, I got to build a lot better than what I would have built if I would have been going from house to house to house or living with complete strangers.
Now Marquan works at Think of Us with Sixto, who, as an adult, made his own surprising discovery about his extended family.
Just a couple of years ago, I was in New York City, and I got a phone call from my sister that there was a family reunion happening. I didn't know them, and they didn't know me. And when I was able to meet them, the biggest shocker for me was that I had these four uncles and aunts who were foster adoptive parents. So here were people in my own family who were blood related to me, who had been approved by the state to not just foster, but to go through the full process of actually adopting a sibling set. And yet here I was for my entire life going from foster home to foster home, or at one point being adopted by a very abusive parent.
Did you have this conversation when you got to chat with your aunts and uncles who you hadn't known? Did you talk about this?
Honestly, no. I think for me, I was just so numb in that moment that the number one thing the thing that I did immediately was like pull out my phone, GPS to my last foster home, which was 58 miles away. And then I just try to manage the numbness that came from that moment, because when you've spent your whole life with this constant narrative of there's no place for you, there's no family for you, we can't place you with anyone. And then all of a sudden that gets disrupted. It was like hard for me to believe, like, wow, I've been lied to my entire life. And that's where real grief came in, because I've started to grieve what could have been.
Oh, that just feels shameful.
I think it's the biggest representation of how broken and flawed by design our system is. The reality is we need a system that does protect children. But if you're going to remove a child, how do you do your due diligence to make sure that children are being placed with family members and that we're making sure people are getting the support that they need?
So this kinship care model, what do you have to do next to make it sort of the default when a child comes into the foster care system?
So number one, what we have right now are regulations that would enable states to set up their own specific process for family members or people that already know the child. And as a part of that, they would be able to draw down federal dollars. This will be historic if these regulations pass, because what it will do, it would transfer $3 billion out of the traditional $11 billion from like traditional foster care to kinship care over a five-year period. So it's a huge shift. So the first thing is to say, for states to raise their hand and say, number one, I want to go ahead and be a kinship care first system and draw down these dollars and make sure that my departments are structured to find family, to get make sure that families get the same monthly check, the same health care for the child that any foster parent would get, right? And charge the federal government or leverage the federal government's money to be able to do that. Number two, people are going to have to innovate and think differently about how do you do that? Like, what is that kin-specific process? And so right now, we're working with a group of people to do some research around how far does that background check need to go? What does that house inspection need to do?
I'm wondering what your skeptics say. Is upending this whole way that a system that's been in place for decades, do you get people saying like, all right, Sixto, that's nice, but I don't know if this is really possible?
So this is very ambitious. The timeline is extremely ambitious. And so I think the most critiques around what we want to accomplish is the idea that we can do this type of push in 5 to 7 years. However, people are starting to believe in kin. 20 years ago, it would not have been a conversation to say grandma should take her grandchildren in, because a lot of people would say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And the reality is that people do say that today, but not at the same rate. And that we see certain counties in the country that have been able to get over 80% of their children placed with a family member or someone that child already knew. So we have evidence that now it's possible.
I'll say this. I truly believe we're at this pivot point, and that if we push just a little bit harder in this very moment, that we can actually live in a new reality where when children have to come into the foster care system, that the first thing that is looked at is extended family, is people that they know. And if we are able to achieve that, we will literally be able to ensure that millions of children will come off of that school bus, go into their homes, look at family members, people that they know, and say, I am loved. Thank you.
That was Sixto Cancel. He's the CEO of the nonprofit Think of Us. You can watch his full talk at TED.com. On the show today, audacious solutions. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.